Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Michael Sayed, your host today. We'll be joined soon, I do believe, by my co-host, Imam Ayman Abdul-Majid from L.A. Today is Independence Day, July 4th, 2021. We will be right back after our opening theme song, titled Words Made People, a song I wrote in 1980, maybe 81, and put to music about 7-8 years ago. Enjoy the song, call a friend, tell them to tune in. We're going to have a good talk today, I do believe. We'll be right back.
People every day trying to do things their own way, but everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on. Give advice, make sure your words hold true, 'cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, 'cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Thank you.
the world go round, words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, and to give you the long version of the song, just being transparent with you, I'm still working on my notes, so I need about that extra time. But I have with me my co-host from the West Coast, bringing the most for the folks, Imam Ayman Abdul Majeed.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alaikum assalam. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are here today on Independence Day.
Yes,
and we're going to have a long discussion. We have a long discussion about Independence Day. And along the way, we may even talk about the 4th of July.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got a lot of information. I'm sure you got some thoughts. You and I spoke on Friday evening. And we said we both spoke on the same thing for our kubar. Independence Day. Alhamdulillah. And also, we're going to talk about what Imam Muhammad established this day. You know, Imam Muhammad gave us so much, we got to get back to focus it for where we are now, because he gave us some powerful concepts and one that we need to build up again. We need to study it first. This is my opinion. I always study it first. And that is the concept of New World Patriotism Day. We got to get back to that with a intentional focus. And so what was the email saying to us? Where was he directing us to? So we can pass that on to our next generations. So today is also New World Patriotism Day. For those who know the life study, studied the life of Imam W.D. Muhammad, he put a lot of emphasis on that, even formed parades, large parades in Chicago. I think he was the initiator of it. New World Patriotism Day Parade. So these things, we do not let happen and not keep them going. So inshallah, we're going to talk about that as well. But, and also we want to engage you, our listening audience, into our conversation here on Words Made People on the station IWDM. I think our brother called it Islam for getting this started years ago. And now it's growing. We even have other programs on the weekend. Our email Sadiqa had us, Arabic on Tuesdays. Brother Monk Shahid and his team, he come on Wednesday and Thursdays, I think at 7 p.m. They have discussions on family issues and marriage issues. So the conversations are growing. We're all coming from the Quran. We're all coming from the life model of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And we all are basing our thinking upon Ibn Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Wallace E. Muhammad, the teachers, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we have a lot to share, Brother Imam Ayman. We have a lot to share. So we want to do all we can. Do all that we can. We want to read today in the Quran from chapter 2, verse. We're going to begin with chapter 2, verse 29 or 30, I think it is. Let me see what I have here. Yes, 29. Am I right? Yes, okay. Yeah, we can begin with 229.
Yeah, what does it say?
Because it does lead into where we always seek God's protection before reading the Quran. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Then we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, seek Allah's mercy. Twice, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. Allah says, it is He who has created all things that are on earth. Huwa al-lazi kalakalakum min fi Arthi, everything on earth Allah has created for you. For you things on earth. Moreover, his design comprehended the heavens. For he gave order and perfection to the seven firmaments. And of all things, he has perfect knowledge. It says, Fahuwa Bekulishayan Alimu. He has perfect knowledge. Just on this first verse, Brother Miriam, it draws our attention first to the earth. He has created for you all things that are on earth. And I hope these concepts tie in with the idea of independence, even what we're reading here now. When it says Allah has created for you all things on the earth, that's a big gift. And also for us, a big responsibility. And it takes an independent-minded person to receive this blessing and to make good use of this blessing. It was not given to the animal world or the plant life world. It was given to us, human beings. But then it says here in the use of Ali translation, moreover, or you could say, well, even more, his design comprehended the heavens. For he gave order and perfection to the seven firmaments. And that brings us to the seven prophets, or the including eight prophets, on the seven levels in the ascension of Rasulullah, the messenger of God. He gave order and perfection to that. But Allah is saying, in addition, what he created for us on the earth, he also gave us as a model, a picture, the order and the perfection in the seven heavens. And this verse ends by saying, and of all things, he has perfect knowledge. That is a big task, Brother Imam Ayman. That is a big task. And when Allah created us, he knew it was a big task. And so he made us to be independent of a lot of things so we can be only dependent upon him. And why we only dependent upon him? It tells you here at the end of this ayat. For of all things, he has perfect knowledge. We don't have perfect knowledge. We don't have perfect knowledge. So we have to depend upon the source so we can make the best of this created things on earth and to understand the message that we see in the seven heavens. But I'd like to get your comments before we go to the next verse.
Yes, sir.
You remind me there?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. You know, once again, alhamdulillah, you know, Revelation opening up our eyes, our mind's
mm-hmm.
eye, you know. You
mm-hmm.
know, to first of all be grateful and thankful that God is the one that's running the show. You know,
I mean,
he's the one in charge. He is definitely the one in charge.
Mm-hmm.
In the language I would be lacking in the shaitan regime. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. It is he who has created you. Praise be to Allah. For you. You know, ما في الأرض جميعا. All things that are on earth. You see? Everything that is
mm-hmm.
on the earth. Everything that God has put on the earth and gathered together. You see? And, you know, when you look at the earth, you look at communities, you know, trees are communities, birds are communities,
mm-hmm.
ants
mm-hmm.
are communities, insects are communities, fish are communities, you know, everything is community-like. So that in that sense, I understand where you see God has great put it all together. Juma,
mm-hmm.
Friday prayer,
right.
Juma, coming together. God gathers us
mm-hmm.
together. You know, so in that respect. I mean, that's a wonderful sign, a beautiful message that's pointing our intellect to see what God has done on this earth so we could look at all these other communities to see how we can build our community and how we can live our community here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you just study the ants, you know, I mean, this is ant season. And as I'm walking down the street, I'm noticing in the ant season, you look down on the sidewalk and the ants are digging up in the dirt. And, you know, they're working very hard so they can get a lot of food for winter. You know, because they won't be out there in the cold, you know. And a lot of times ants are very annoying. But I came into the facility the other day, and the ants was coming through the window and going under the toilet, and going up the wall, and going all the way through the bottom of the wall, and all they was doing was trying to get to this trash can that some food was left in. And you know, they're very annoying to us doing their jobs they were created to do. So I think it's a wonderful sign that God's putting all of these creatures, you know, to show us how we're supposed to live our life as society and as human beings, you know. And some people have seen heat of it, and society has grown tremendously because of studying the creation that God has put here. So that's one of the things.
So let me ask a question, what you just saying, because as you were speaking, I can't think childhood story we all learned years ago about the grasshopper and the ant. Came to my mind. And so then I thought about there's a chapter in the Quran called the ants. There's a chapter in the Quran called the bees.
Yep.
Because they also form communities. But then in my other mind, not trying to be disrespectful, I said there's no chapter in the Quran called the grasshopper.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't survive through the hard times. They are playing. You know, that may tie in with the difference between someone understanding Independence Day. That's the ant. They're workers. But those who won't play, they get 4th of July. That's the grasshopper. I live on have fun, get day off work to eat some barbecue, etc.
Yeah.
You know, drink beer. Uh-huh. You know, but they're not trying to be independent minded in their thinking. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Let's then the next verse. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you done?
No, I was just done. Yeah, go ahead. Let's go on to the next.
Okay.
You talking about the next part of this? The next part of what we just read.
Yeah, chapter 30. Yeah, chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 30. That's the next one.
You want to read that too?
Well, really, what I want to get down to is really the verse 31. But maybe I should go ahead and, yes. You know, let me just go to, let me just read through 31, 32, and 33. We have some comments and then we get into our conversation.
All right.
This is our Ali translation.
Yeah.
Beginning with 30. It reads, "Behold, your Lord said to the angels, I will create a Khalifa on earth." Now, they have vicegerent here in Yusuf Ali, but it's saying, it says, "Fir arti khalifatan," is what it says in Arabic. I will create a khalifa on earth. They said, "Will you place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood? Well, we do celebrate your praises and glorify your holy name." He, Allah, said, "I know what you know not." Verse 31 reads, "And he taught Adam the nature of all things." We're going back to all things again, right? Okay. "And he taught Adam the nature of all things. Then he placed them before the angels and said, tell me the nature or the name of these if you are right." Right? He says, tell me the name. He says, the Esme. And the name and nature really saying the same thing. the same thing. And the proof that name and nature are the same thing, when you write your name, what do you sign? You sign your nature. But they put it together in one word and call that sign nature, or they just say signature. That's your name. So name and nature is saying the same thing.
Absolutely.
So again, Allah says in the Quran, and he taught Adam. He taught. Why? Allah taught Adam, our father. And Allah teaches us the nature of all things, or the name of all things. Then he placed them before the angels and said, tell me the nature, the name of these, if you are right. They said, Subhanaka, glory to thee. La ilma, no knowledge we have, none. They hadn't been educated. The angels were not given the capacity or the responsibility that mankind was given to have use and dominion over all these things. So again, he says, the angels said, glory to thee, of knowledge we have none, except what you have taught us. In truth, it is you who are perfect in knowledge and wisdom. He said, O Adam, tell them their natures. And when he had told them, Allah said, did I not tell you that I know the secrets of heaven and earth, and I know what you reveal and what you conceal? But you know, I mean, when he said this before here, what you reveal and what you conceal, he's talking to the Iblis that's hiding, who has concealed himself among the angels.
Yeah, yes, sir.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Because the angels don't have the capacity to think. Therefore, they can't conceal.
That's right.
The only one that can conceal is the one that got the capacity to think, and that's man and jinn.
Yeah. I got you.
Okay. So Allah says here, and behold, we said to the angels, bow down to Adam. Right? Bow down.
Yes,
it says, as you do, like Sashta, right?
Yeah,
as to do well, Adam.
Yeah.
And they bowed. So Iblis.
Yep.
He refused and was haughty. Huh?
Iblis.
He had back problems. He's haughty. He got back problems. Say he was of those who reject faith. Say he was minnal kafirin. He was among those who reject faith. So the faith, his rejection of faith was manifested not as he relates to Allah.
Yeah.
Iblis's rejection of faith was as he relates to us.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you read in the Quran, when Shaitan will say, yes, my Lord. Iblis and Shaitan had no problem in calling Allah my Lord.
Yeah.
They had no problem with that. Their problem was with Allah entrusting human beings to be independent, to be thinkers. And yes, along the way, we caused bloodshed and mischief. But Allah seeing a bigger picture, a complete picture of the human family, a human model in Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the battle. This is the battle for independence. We're going to talk about independence and independence of a nation, but more importantly, independence of human beings. Because it takes independent human beings to come together to form an independent nation. The nation just don't poof out of thin air. It has to come from people who have achieved a certain education from revelation in scripture, revelation in creation. And they come to a higher understanding that I am to be free by my Lord. And then they collect each other with other light thinkers and form a nation. But you have any comments on what we just read about the Nehemiah?
No. I can understand in reading this and connecting it with independent, you know.
Yes.
Because when we come out of this reading here on Iblis mm-hmm. and Adam, you know, and the angels, and Allah teaching Adam the names of all things, the nature of all things, you know, the next reading we come out of, it goes into the story of the children of Israel, Bani Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this mm-hmm. this concept, these words here, the reason why Iblis didn't want to make sajda, the language is very clear. He was astakbar. He was
mm-hmm.
arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Arrogant.
Yeah.
Now, that when we read this story here, it's really mm-hmm. laying the foundation for all these things we start reading in the Quran about all of these people in the earth. You had some that
mm-hmm.
took the arrogant position, you know, to oppress
mm-hmm.
the people because they were big-headed. And you had the others that were believers in God, believers in Allah, believers in the truth, and believers,
yes,
you know, in what Allah revealed. And they really was trying to live that life, and they was constantly being oppressed. It was constantly being oppressed. And, you know, God tells us that the most mightiest oppression is shirk. So, I mean, all of this, I think, is laying the groundwork for everything we're going to start reading in the Quran about these different communities. And we do Quran reading every day together, you know, as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in Surah 7 right now. We just read a section at a time and discuss it, you know. But
yes,
in Surah 7, the heights, man, you start reading about all these different communities, man, the Hud and the Thamud and the Luke. Moses, you know, and all of these communities, and even the Quraysh and the Muhammad
mm.
prophet, prayer and peace be upon it. You read about all
mm-hmm.
these, and then it boils down to really two things: the arrogance of the leadership that's oppressing
mm.
the people, common people,
you know,
just trying to live that
mm-hmm.
life that God wanted them to have. Go ahead.
No, I guess you'll say that was the first war fought between Adam and the Iblis. And that's the same war, just on a bigger scale, being fought today.
Especially when you said nations, God is trying to bring communities of people, you know, to be liberated, to be free,
mm-hmm.
millions of people,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's wonderful,
yes,
man.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
so we're gonna talk about some concepts. Yeah, first we say Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah has spoken the almighty truth. But we're going to talk about the 4th of July, Independence Day, and how this idea evolved and how we ought to keep the Word of God in front of us throughout this whole conversation today as to what is Allah pointing the human family to. Because, you know, on the fourth day of this month, July, America as a nation celebrates her Declaration of Independence as a nation. Independence from centuries of tyranny and oppression suffered as victims in England or in Europe, right, where Europeans denied other Europeans the basic, but they're potent, but the basic human and civil rights of life, liberty, and justice for all. Going back to that for all again, right? See it again. The essential and powerful human need to be free. And that's a powerful need in every human being. It's basic, it's essential, it's basic, but it's powerful. It's a powerful human need to be free, unfettered in one's mind, body, and soul, so that we can serve our Lord Creator. That struggle that Europeans went through in Europe, being oppressed by other Europeans, that a light was growing, crescendo, they call it in music, where you go from a low pitch of sound and it slowly increases to a high and full volume but it's a slow, gradual increase. It had taken place over in the Europe until it sparked finally what they call in history the Age of Enlightenment. The Age of Enlightenment came about 17th, 18th century. It was when oppressed Europeans encountered Al-Islam that their minds were impregnated by the words of the Quran. The Europeans' minds were slowly impregnated by the words of the Quran and seeing how the Muslims lived their life and demonstrated their life that gave way to a renaissance or renaissance. It just means a rebirth. It was the Europeans coming in contact with Muslims living the Quran, then reading the Quran, that it gave way for the Age of Enlightenment to be born. Slowly over generations, really, in backwards Europe. That's the truth of history. This light of truth from Islam, an enlightenment that slowly grew in illumination until the oppressed in Europe said, no more, we say in the Quran, no tumult and oppression. That thulama, that oppression. Now, the way the Europeans said it coming out of Europe, give me liberty or give me death. Because the Quran says the same thing, but it says, see how it says?
Yeah.
Death is better than to be oppressed. Yes. And so that's the same thing. What I think was that Patrick Henry? I think they gave him credit for saying that.
Yeah,
give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Those are concepts that came to the European mind where they engaged Muslims in Islam along the way.
Sure.
And that caused them to break away and gave birth to a new nation we call America. That, in a nutshell, is the independence of our nation, America. And I know we fast. We through it real quickly, and inshallah we go through it a bit more. But that is what the influence of the Quran upon the oppressed European created a Martin Luther and his thesis that he wrote against the oppression they were under by what they call the church with a capital C. Don't think of the church around the corner from your house. We're talking about the Church of England. And for the centuries of how they oppressed the people. There's a new book just came out 2 weeks ago or so. Another book by our beloved Imam Muhammad, but edited by our beloved Imam Ronald Bilal Shaheed, Ronald B. Shaheed. And this book here is a must read. It's called On Islam and American Democracy. Again, the book is titled On Islam and American Democracy. You can contact email Rama Shaheed. I'm look. I should have his number handy because you know he told me to give his number out to anybody who wanted his number.
No, I got it.
If you guys, you can say it now because people need to get this book called On Islam and American Democracy. I'm gonna read a couple of portions from it. You can look up his number real quick and let people know to call him. If you have his email, or he's on Facebook Ronald B. Shaheed.
Yeah, his number is air code 414-349-2278. That's area code 414-349-2278. And us in the Los Angeles area, I have about 6 copies left. They're going real fast. Matter of fact, it may not be but about 3 copies. But we sold them real quick. And we plan to get about 20 more.
Yes, sir. We got about a dozen, or a little bit less than a dozen now, here in Indianapolis, Indiana. because the book,
yeah,
any marriage should get a dozen,
yeah,
two or three dozen.
No, we should really get this one, and I think we should even try to put it in the hands of some of these people that we know are close with in politics, and you know, so they can really read
right.
How
thank
close
you.
Islam is to democracy, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about their very sister by ordering a lot of them and just give them to politicians.
Yeah.
You know, just as a gift from, this is a gift from my master, because they need to know this. So let me read,
what page are you going
to
go to?
I think it's page 107.
Yeah, 107. That's it.
Yeah, page 107.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, cause we had talked about how Islam influenced the European to come out of darkness, and how they came into enlightenment and broke away and came and formed America. And as Imam Muhammad pointed out, it's no coincidence that the first four letters in America says Amir. Amir is an Arabic name. Now, I know they got some other history they give you, you know, that is how the name came about, but that is Islamic influence. And the man said, and the C-A on the end stand for your spirit.
Yeah.
Amir, it carries the spirit. Amir is the prince.
Yeah.
So what is the prince over your spirit? That is...
Oh, my God.
Are you there? Wait a minute.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
No, we can hear your background noise. Okay. So you see right in the name of America, the name Amir. But what do you remember Muhammad saying to you on page?
Yeah, I remember that. Imam Muhammad said, Amirka, prince of the air, prince of the spirit, prince of the air.
Yes.
I remember him letting us know that, yeah.
That's right, yes. So these are the things we need to study as we go to be revive, I'll say, New World Patriotism Day. All of these things we're saying down a whole lot more. We got a lot of learned Muslims in our community that can speak on this. We just given our portion today of how this great society came to be and the influence of Islam upon it coming to be a great society. And I'll read this portion here from this book because there's a lot more that we can say on how this society got to be so great. But Imam Muhammad was saying here on page 107, he says, the subtitle of this page is, this section is called No Democracy for the Christian World Before Islam. Again, no democracy for the Christian world before Islam. Imam says here, quote, there was no democracy for the Christian world before Islam. Kingdoms, dictators, rulers, the best of them saw the common person as an image of a human, but in reality, an animal, not a human being. It was justified them not giving public education, not educating the common people. The common person had no right to be educated before Islam came to be practiced by Muhammad and his followers. There was no educating the common people, and the women were not given equal respect before the courts with the men. They didn't do that. All of that came with Islam. Consequently, don't think when Allah says of Muhammad in the Quran that, quote, he is a mercy to all the world, end quote, that's in your estimation. Oh, yes, Muhammad is the mercy of all the worlds. He said, Imam said, this religion is beautiful. It is merciful. It is merciful. Muhammad, the prophet is a mercy to everybody. You have to know the condition that the world was in, and you have to know how the presence of Islam taught by the first teacher, Muhammad, affected this world. To make it change and to get better. You have to know how it awakened the human intellect. Appreciate the universe as the place for exploration, for human discoveries and studies. That's page 107 of the book. On Islam and American Democracy. Now, Imam Ayman, this is going back to what we just read from the Quran.
Yes.
That Allah educated Adam, and Muhammad being the completion of the prophets, he bought the education for the world, a mercy for all the worlds, not just for the Muslims, but for the whole world, for everybody, to reach down
everybody.
To the common man. To reach down to the common man and the common woman. Because those in the higher society, you may have said those, the kingdoms, the dictators, the rulers, he said even the best of them, they could not appreciate the common man and woman being above an animal. He said, yeah, they got a human body, like the slave master did our foreparents. Yeah, they got a human body, but they are lacking over here. They're lacking over there. So, yeah, they got a human body, but they don't have that divine spark. The African, the female, don't have that divine spark. We have to take care of them. But when Muhammad comes, he said, no, educate them. Teach them, the common man. Trust the common man. Trust the common woman. Not some of them, all of them. We're talking about Independence Day.
Yes,
not
sir.
4th of July. We're talking about Independence Day. But it begins with the independence of the individual, the individual person, the individual person. So I'm reading the same thing twice. Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm really
okay.
You got a good flow.
Okay,
Let's keep moving.
Yeah, so independence. Not only as a nation, though we are observing that, but the bigger picture or the more important picture is our independence as an individual person. For what purpose? To freely worship Allah with an independent conscious mind. That indeed is the truest of all freedoms. It's not the freedom to go make money. It's not the freedom to go to the party. It's not the freedom to finally go into the restaurant or the hotel that our parents were denied because of their skin color. That's not the biggest freedom. The biggest freedom is that when we can worship God with our own conscience. That's why in our USA Constitution, the first thing that was established was what? The freedom of religion.
Freedom of religion.
The first thing, why am I emphasizing the first thing? This may not be the best example, but when you go to the store and you buy a product and you turn around the back and read that small print of the ingredients, but you know, the first ingredient is the dominant ingredient, and the second ingredient is the most second dominant ingredient. They list them in the order of how much they make of that content. And a lot of times, if you read it, the first thing what it says, a lot of things it says it's the sugar and water because they sell them as junk. So anyway, back to my point. For our country to establish, the first thing what it says is to say freedom of religion. Because they know that is the most important thing to have. And that was the biggest thing they were denied in Europe. And to this day, in many parts of the world, they are denied that first, basic, the most important right, freedom of religion in your just mind. That is indeed the truest of all freedoms, of all freedoms. So the question, we've got to ask ourselves, is this day, 4th of July, just another day off work to eat barbecue, you get drunk, tell jokes, and have fun? Or is this day for reflecting on the real meanings of independence and your accountability as an individual to your Lord Creator.
I look at these people, you know, they're popping all these firecrackers, you know, cherry bombs and some of whatever else they got to shake the cars, you know, and make the alarms go off. They so loud. It scares all the animals. All the animals got to scared and run for their life. When I reflect on that, in the freedom that this world offers people to be, free to think as a natural human being with the mind that God wants you to have. When you think about all this, you know, they want our lives. When I say they, I'm talking about certain people who are running this thing in society, you know, Shaitan and his influences and all his imps. They want your life to be like a firecracker or a cherry bomb. They want you to have one big boom, one big thrill, and that's your freedom, you know. And then, you know, I thought about the song by B.B. King where it said, the thrill is gone. the thrill is gone, you know. Once you get that little thrill, you have that little pleasure, you know, where you think it's freedom to be an animal, freedom to be a fool, then your life, you know, you still don't have anything. Yeah, so that's that true freedom, you know. Mm-hmm. And we as our people, you know, we lost our community life in Africa. You know, we lost all of that, you know. And God has given it back to us through Al-Islam. God has given it right back in the religion of Al-Islam when God says that you are the best community, you know, brought out for the good of humanity. So I think that we have to put our mind on the real freedom. And the real freedom is following this Quran, following this revelation, and bringing our life totally into the life that God appreciates.
You know, page 16 is the same book. Again, with the title On Islam and American Democracy, commentary Imam David B. Muhammad, edited by Mama B. Shahid. Page 16, Imam says, slavery cut off the spirit and lifeline of God. Is that, I mean, just that alone is powerful. Slavery done to us. We have to return to what God created you with. So we, you know, see, in our father Adam is a noble, excellent model. But again, we have to know this, and I hope our Christian friends don't take offense to this, but we have to say what they say in those other circles. Imam is on page 19 of this book. He says, the first reform in the church, Martin Luther, the great church reform leader, he helped pave the way for our democracy.
You're going to page 19 now?
Page 19, yes. I guess it'll be just one paragraph, two, I don't know. Page 19. Are you there?
Right here. Got you.
Okay. It says, first reform in the church. Martin Luther, the great church reform leader, he helped pave the way for our democracy. None of this could exist without these great leaders I am mentioning. We couldn't have this great society if it had not been for them. The first reform then had to take place in the church. Then after the reform in the church, we had the great political movement for this great society or this great democracy. Why did it have to take place in the church? The church at the time, keep in mind, this is not the church around the corner or the one that you belong to. This is the Church of England. And then when they spell this church, it's always spelled with a capital C. You know, they worked for years and years and years, centuries, oppressing the people. This is just the fact of history. And then Martin Luther, he wrote his theses, his criticisms, and they call him a protester. He was protesting against the church with the capital C. again, I got to emphasize, not the church you got your heart belong to. I'm talking about the one in England that oppressed people for a long time. They church. Martin Luther, he wrote his thesis against the oppression there. He had been touched by the light of Islam. Now, they call him a protester. That's why they call, if the church is not Catholic, they call them Protestant. To get the word Protestant, spell it real slow. You're talking about independence, right? Independence comes with a protest, don't it?
Yeah.
Independence comes with a protest.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Okay, spell protest and then put ant behind it. What you got? You got
Protestant.
That's all it said.
Yeah.
That you are you follow a branch of religious thinking that protested against the Church of England because they were oppressing the people, denying them their independence. And you remember Muhammad saying it was Martin Luther, the great church reform leader, that helped pave the way for our democracy in America that we have today. It's all connected. It didn't just, these guys just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, let's go to America and find a country. No, Islam had worked on them and forced the church to change because of the challenge from Islam showing this liberty. That was before the Muslims became narrow-minded. Muslims lost it too. But if you follow the way of Muhammad, the Uswa, his model of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, you will see the direct light, enlightenment, leading to the democracy right here in America today. That's why you find the Masons and Shriners building a house that looks just like masjids, where they hide their knowledge on the inside from the people. You go by any Mason Shriner place, Muslim came from overseas and walked into the Mason place thinking it was a masjid. Because they hide the knowledge inside from the people. Our job is to tell it. We ain't trying to join nobody's group, but we can't tell it. That's not the way of the believer. I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, Jew. You don't go join some group and hide knowledge. So, just a little side note, dear people, we got to know these things. We have a Martin Luther too, right? Called Martin Luther King.
That's right.
Everybody, man, I am. Do you know the birth name of Dr. Martin Luther King?
What is it?
He was named after his daddy.
Right.
It's Michael. Michael.
Oh, right.
Michael King. And his daddy was named Michael King. But when Martin Luther, Martin Luther King, found out about this Martin Luther here, he changed his name to Martin. And his father did the same thing, too. Now, it's a shame. That should be common knowledge for our 10-year-old children. Dr. King was influenced by this German guy, Martin Luther, who protested against the church and demonstrated against the church for freedom. And then Michael King, he changed his name to Martin after this gentleman here from Germany.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the growth process. So Dr. King, He knew this. What I'm going to say, if a man won't treat you right, he won't teach you right. That's why he adhered to Gandhi, because Gandhi was outside of the teaching when we were
right.
getting here in America. Let's tell the truth.
That's right.
Huh? Mr. Farrar's teaching was outside when we got here in America.
Yeah. And Gandhi,
he said,
Gandhi
if a man won't treat me right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gandhi was also in protest. Gandhi was also in protest. Against the British in India.
Yes. And so with Mr. Farrar, he's from the same area. There's no missing pieces. There's no missing pieces here. There's none. We got to study what Imam Muhammad gave us and how he gave it to us. And he's the only one that gave it to us. The rest of them, of our Muslim sin, trying to put us back in prison. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. I got some callers, brother. Hey, man, I got about 3 callers here.
We're
going to bring them
in.
On.
Let them get in.
Yeah. Well, I got to say this because I know my brothers and my sisters. I love you all. But y'all got to call in with a question or a brief statement, not a kubah, not a sermon. And I love all you all. So, okay, first caller here. 414, caller from SML walking number, right? Yeah, 414-397. Thanks for calling Workspace People. Can you give us your first name, Kitty, and your question and comment?
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman. Jeffrey O'Neay from Milwaukee.
Yes, sir. My brother Jeffrey.
I don't know. I have a couple of brief comments, really. The first one is the topic we're talking about, Father Adam and Mother Eve. My question is, why didn't they obey Allah? You can have everything in creation, but don't go near this tree. But they did it. That's why we're in this situation, I think. The other quick comment I wanted to make, and I'm looking at a picture of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't we talk about or raise the history of the siege of Temple Number 4 back in the 1960s? They wanted to capture Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and take him out of the temple. They weren't able to gain entry. The government I'm talking about, the FBI, Secret Service, I don't know, the Washington Police Department, they were not able to gain entry to the temple because of the Fruit of Islam soldiers. They wound up taking some of the tactics that these brothers and sisters use for security, and we need to know that information too. But I'll let it rest, brother. Thank you.
Okay. I say you're welcome. On the second part, I'm very much confused because I don't think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was ever in the Nation of Islam. They had a bad incident in D.C. involving his leader. What's the brother's name? They went in and they did some bad things to his leader's family. They killed his wife and his children. But I don't know of any connection with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the Nation of Islam for us, him being a member. He was, to my knowledge, he was never a member. As a matter of fact, he had a great dislike after that happened to Khalees. That's his name, Khalees. To Khalees' family, that there was great animosity. Unless I can't touch that one. I don't know anything about that. On the first one, you asked about our Father Adam and Mother Eve, and why did they disobey? We're told plainly in the Quran that Allah made us as human beings, and that we grow. So disobeying is probably not the best word, dear people. They were not so much disobeying as they were tricked. That's why the Quran came and dignifies what happened to our Father Adam. He says he slipped. He did not intentionally go wrong. He did not, for him to intentionally go wrong would have made Adam like a Iblis or a Shaitan or a Kafir. He was not a Kafir. He was, Adam and his wife were believers. But the Shaitan he seduced them. He played on the emotions, what they call in a symbolic way, Eve. He played on the emotions to get to the intellect, Adam. And then they were seduced and tricked into going wrong. They didn't go out there and say, well, God said, don't eat that forbidden fruit. I don't care what God said, I'm going to eat it anyway. No, they didn't do that. They were tricked. They were seduced. But even in that being done, we say man plans and Allah plans. And Allah is the best planner. I'm going to expand it, but it says Shaitan plans and Allah plans. Shaitan plans and Allah plans, and Allah is the better planner.
Yeah, that's right.
Any comments on
Oh no, you answered it very beautifully. I mean, that's the way to answer it, you know, the way the Quran explains it. He slipped in the garden. He was deceived, you know, and really to make it real plain is that he was tricked to take on the secular mind or the mind of this world and leave off the mind of taqwa to be conscious of God. And when you leave off the mind to be conscious of Allah, and what Allah wants us to do, and you take on that other mind, now you have been deceived in thinking that that other mind is better. Because even when you read the Genesis, like Imam used to tell us, in the Genesis, in the temptation is there, and the human mind is saying, okay, look, God didn't mean that you would die if you eat of this tree. He mean your eyes would come open. You would be as the gods, knowing both good and evil, okay? And Imam used to tell us, he said, nowhere in the Genesis do you see the man dying physically. So he's not talking about dying physically. You're dying to the mindset and the mind and the life that God is calling you to, that Allah is calling you to, and you're taking on the mindset and the life that Satan is inviting you to that looks more exciting. And that's what people are. The people are deceived because the pomp and glitter, the zina, the beautiful things of this world, that pomp and that glitter looks more exciting, you see, more enthusiastic, whatever you want to say. And they get involved in that life, and then that's the life in the path they go down. All right? Satan tries to get one jump ahead. That's what it is. He tries to get one jump ahead and make the human being feel he's missing out on something. If he doesn't follow this way of life. So, you know, he's deceived. Many people are still deceived today by that same thinking.
That's right. Yes, you know, so we talk about Adam and his wife, and we're doing the same thing.
He met a word from his Lord, and he repented.
There you go. He repented. Yes, so we don't leave Adam out there just being a sinner, and that's it. Allah says he sent the word and he repented. So what's that saying to us, Mother Jeffrey, everybody? That as we also make mistakes, go meet the word from your Lord and repent. And you will grow from that error or that sin you've done will be a building block because you say, I'm not going to do that no more. And we continue to grow and advance. So thank you, Brother Jeffrey. We do thank you for calling in.
Thank you for being a supporter. I've heard these comments before. But why slip? Don't slip.
Don't slip. Well, and yes, that's true. But don't be deceived. And we see people being deceived every day. So our job, as people who do know better, is to teach those who don't know. It's the duty of the civilized to teach the uncivilized, right?
Well, that's right. And go back to that beautiful hadith, that beautiful saying, you know, that Imam Muhammad used to talk on all the time when he talked about the angel Jibril, you know, and God showed him the creation. God showed him the environment. And he said, look. Jibril looked at it. And he said, my Lord, how can anybody go wrong in such a beautiful creation? And then within an instant, he showed it to him again after Satan had put his influence in it, his deception in it, and said, my Lord, how can anybody go right in such an ugly environment? So this is what we're living in today. We're living in a culture, you see. We're living in an environment that makes people slip, that makes people fall, because they don't really know what the true path is. So that's why you said it's our job. This is what Allah has put on us and every righteous human being in the earth to try to talk to people and bring them back, you know, to the truth. That's all it is, you know. And we've been back.
Go ahead.
I'm done on that. Go ahead and talk.
Yeah, no, you're saying that's the reason for the talk today about independence of the individual to serve their Lord. That would bring us back. And that would bring us back away from the wrongdoing and the sin. Most people who commit a lot of sin, they don't have that relationship with their Lord or the Word of God. But we need to move on. We got a couple more callers here. I wanted to get Ketu, and please again, question, comments. This is caller from 706. Can you give us your first name, your city, and your question or brief comment, please?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Yeah, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia, just had three statements. One, Allah is the only one who could give any human being independence. And he gave the human family independence when he gave the Quran and the life example of Muhammad to how to live that independence, that new freedom. And also tells us in the Quran that they will make mockery of your false freedom that they give you and say it comes from me, paraphrasing. So we know that this Independence Day right now, all around the world, America is influencing people in all countries of all different religions and whatever, having them celebrating their independence. And what they are laughing and making mockery of us here in America is that the believers in the one God who gave them the freedom and the only one who can give them the freedom, they don't realize that we're celebrating our freedom from them not doing their job and having us under the influence of the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad like we should want. They are making mockery of the law, tell us that. So I just wanted to make sure that we don't forget we was in slavery when independence, they were celebrating their independence and not being under the influence of Al-Islam. And they're still doing it. Laughing at us, got us spending all our money, barbecuing,
no fireworks,
drinking, etc.
You know, and Brother Edmund, see, it's something we got to go back and read the words of Frederick Douglass that he said, a powerful statesman, very intelligent brother, that he said, titled, "What is the 4th of July to me?" referring to me as a slave or an ex-slave. And in that timeline of development, he lays it out. He lays it out. Because he said, for the state I'm in now, you call it Independence Day, 4th of July, but for me, it's not that. It's oppression. So, and I'm emphasizing that stage of development, because we're going to get to New World Patriotism Day as well. Because once we come in contact, or we are born again by the word of God, we can look at the Independence Day now and really be independent in our thinking, as you just said, you know, that we have to do it from what the Quran says. And but I guess across the board, but I'm now thinking of African Americans, we don't look at Independence Day in the sense of our freedom to serve God with a conscious mind. You know, we don't see it that way. We have been blessed by Imam Muhammad with the knowledge, the insight to be those people that will take Independence Day to its fullness, to its fullness. And we don't keep it for ourselves. We share it with the entire world. You have a third statement you wanted to say? Because I thought you said you had three, but maybe it was just two. Are you there? Yeah, okay. Okay, well,
are you still talking
brother.
To me? I didn't know you. Are you still talking to me?
Yeah. Yes, I thought you had I thought you said a third one. The two are fine that you made, but I didn't want to. She had another one. Good, if not, I'm going to go to my next caller.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Very well spoken, my brother. Very well spoken. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. This next caller is, I think, from the Chicago area. I think that's a 773. Caller from 773. Thanks for calling Words Make People. Give us your first name, city, and your question, a brief comment, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. I know that voice.
Yeah,
my brother Bashir.
From Chicago by way of New York City. I've been up in New York City for the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I've been here with my brother. He had some medical issues, and so I had to come
okay.
and assist him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But
you're from Chicago,
I
right?
On, I, pardon?
But you were born and raised in Chicago?
Yeah, there's a song by Oscar Brown Jr. Born on 47th Street, raised in Illinois, nothing but a clean black boy. Swing low,
all
sweet
right.
chariot.
All right. Alhamdulillah.
But I came on the program late. I didn't know what the topic was, but you did give the topic. But what turned my light on is when you made the comment about Dr. Martin Luther King and his name
mm-hmm.
change. And I thought that was significant in this Independence Day and
mm-hmm.
the name change situation that he did change his name. Because, you know, many people in our community, African American people, they had some issues with our name change. In fact, I've experienced it being in New York with my brother, and he introduced me as his brother Bashir. But the comments that I have received, and most of his friends that I met are Jewish, they respected
mm-hmm.
that. They didn't disrespect it. But I think it's when we think about even the name change situation, it was an expression of our independence. And,
mm-hmm.
and as you mentioned
right.
about name, too, when you look at that word, independence, and I sent something out today, too, earlier, and what hit my mind is E-N-D, independence. We want to end dependence.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a dependent people in this society. And when Allah blessed us with the insights from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Wardi Muhammad, it brought
mm-hmm.
us into non-independent thinking. And this is what Master Farad Muhammad and the Imam explained to us, that
mm-hmm.
is what he wanted to put us into. And even the name change aspect,
mm-hmm. right.
it gives us respect. That's something that has came to my
yes,
mind
sir.
Just recently.
Well, let me make a fast comment on. Let me make two fast comments, if I may.
Go ahead.
That's why Mr. Farad knows the science of Independence Day. That's why he claimed, he said he came to us on what day? On the 4th of July. Is when he used that day as a hint to us that he knows the knowledge or the science of independence, of real independence. So he used, we don't know what day he came, but he knew the importance of saying that he came to free us on the 4th of July to give you your freedom. And so I wanted to make that one comment. And the other comment, too, you made a very good statement. I like our name change is a sign of our independence, where we are students of revelation. And as you look at Abraham became Abraham when God taught him. Saul
yes.
became Paul when God taught him. Jacob became Israel. They said he wrestled with God or the angel all night long till he was blessed. But it's saying, you know, like Sarah became Sarah. When we encounter the word of God and understand it, the name change is saying that I'm no longer enslaved to what I was before. I'm independent, or as you say, in the dependency of being under the rule of those who abuse us, those who are upholding the battle call of Shaitan. So I just wanted to make those points that crossed my mind as you were speaking. And Dr. King, when he came to some freedom, he changed his name, and his father was named Michael, too. Daddy King was named Michael, too. And they both changed their name to Martin.
Yeah. And I think that's significant.
Yes, sir.
That's really significant. And I'm going to end with this, and I would everyone who wants a serious insights on the 4th of July to read the article in New Africa titled A Healthy Patriotism, dated 7/23/04 and 8/20/04. And it is a serious and insightful commentary on the 4th of July. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, it is very beautiful. Yeah, so we have been given quite a bit. And I always like to when Brother Bashir called in because he's been around for a good little while. And he always brings some good insights for us to share. Any comments on what he shared before we move on?
No, no. I think what he said was right, you know, right to the point. And it's really something how when we changed our names here in America, it really started like a revolution, you know, a change, a big momentous change.
That's right.
And it
That's
really
right.
represented our independence, you know. It really did on the road, I would say, on the road to independence, you know, as a free
yes.
people, as a free people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think
that's right.
wonderful. Yeah. I'm there.
Yes. Now, we're going to talk some more about this progress of how America came into independence because we, as our brother he mentioned, MLC, I think he's one that mentioned it. I'm sure he was. Now, that our coming into the idea of freedom is kind of like a mockery. So all we do is party and celebrate. And only Allah can give us the real independence. Only Allah can give us the real independence. But for us, as descendants of those the people, the Africans in America, who had the least expression of real freedom, even to this day, we have a watered-down expression of someone else's interpretation or understanding of freedom. We still not in the best position. Even Muhammad has given us the insight to get to the best position. But before we get to that part, we got about 45 minutes left. I may go over a little bit. I don't know. Because this is all good information, I do believe. Let us look at the words here of a lady. I always call her name. Her name is Rose Wilder Lane. She's an American born. I think she was very popular during the 1940s, I believe. And she wrote a book called Man's Struggle Against Authority. Man's Struggle Against Authority. And in this book here, she mentions three time periods in which the human family was really evolving towards freedom. And the first example she used is Prophet Abraham from the Bible. Yes, being that model of man being free to be thinkers without being under authority. The second model that she uses is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as being the model of human excellence for us coming into independent thinking, not being dominated of a man over a man. Again, her name is Rose Wilder, W-I-L-D-E-R, Lane. And here she's speaking of the contributions of Islam to humanity. And she says here on page 86 of her book, she says, American schools teach American children the European past, pagan Greece and pagan Rome, the transformation of the empire to the church during the Dark Ages. Again, as I said before, when she says church, she got the church in uppercase letters. And I want y'all to remember that, please. When they say the church and the church is with uppercase letters, the church is saying the Church of England. oppression that they refer to. So here she says, the transformation of the empire to the church during the dark ages. Okay, this is what we are taught, right? The Renaissance, the Middle Ages,
yes.
The kings,
yes.
And the barons, the Reformation, then coming to modern Europe, the rise of the capitalist class, the revolt of the masses, that is Europe. This is very powerful what this lady's saying here. I'm going to say young lady, but she was born, she was very popular in the 1940s. So we were taught this in school. But she said, her description of Europe, Gages, the Renaissance, the Middle Ages, the kings, the barons, the Reformation, into modern Europe, the rise of the capitalist class, the revolt of the masses, that's key right there, revolt of the masses. She said, that is Europe. She said, during the stagnation of Europe, that is called the Dark Ages. The world was actually bright with an energetic, brilliant civilization, more akin to the American civilization, and more fruitful today than everyone alive, than any other in the past. So what she's saying was that when Europe was in stagnation in the Dark Ages, around them that there was a bright, energetic civilization that was more like America. She's referring to the world of Islam. She says millions upon millions of human beings, 30 generations, believing that all men are equal and free, created that civilization and kept on creating it for 800 years. She's talking about the life of the Muslim society for 800 years. And some say 500, some say 700. They're talking about the Muslims in Spain and the Muslims in Medina and the other Muslim environments, and not just only Muslim, but mainly Muslim. She was saying that when Europe was in the stagnation of the Dark Ages, the light of Islam and in the East was bright. She goes on to say, to them, the world owes modern science, mathematics, astronomy, navigation, modern medicine, and surgery, scientific agriculture. To them, the world directly owes the discovery and the exploration of America. Please look her up. Rose Barter Lane. And so, okay, what is this Caucasian lady from this little bitty town? I think she's from Wisconsin, the Dakota, somewhere in the northern center states. She comes to the understanding that Prophet Abraham, Prophet Muhammad, were the two that really gave life to what we have in America today. This is important for us to understand how these things develop. Imran, do you have any comments on that before we take our next caller?
No. I'd like to get that book. Yeah.
Yes.
That's very wonderful information that you're sharing with us today. As proof that, you know, there was great civilization living, and like you say, the light was bright in these,
yes,
civilizations before the European dawned on the world, you know. And
yes,
so I will say this though, man, they brought a lot,
mm-hmm,
of darkness. They brought a lot of darkness with them. They brought a lot of gloom, a lot of oppression,
yes,
with them,
sir.
You know.
Well, they did,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking how they went into all these countries, man, and destroyed the people, man, and you know, impose, you know, artificial religion on them, you know, white supremacy on them, you know, and killed a lot,
mm-hmm,
of people and burned them at the stake, you know. It's a lot.
Yes. Well, see, and I think that's one of the reasons Allah has preserved us from being guilty of air pollution, water pollution, world crime. I mean, crimes here, world wars, and all that. Because the mission that we have, the students of the Quran following Imam Muhammad's tafsirs, is to do what we're doing today on this show.
Yeah.
We have to bring it out. We have to, we're talking about New World Patriotism Day. And Imam Muhammad gave us that. Then that right there is saying that from the lowest of the low, it's going to come the answer. Just to put it out directly. And we would put as the Safalah Safalah, the lowest of the low, in the darkness. But you know, but they say the brightest, they said that the darkest hour give birth to the sunrise.
That's it. Darkest hour is just before dawn. That's right.
That's right. Yes. Let's go to the next caller. I know this number very well. This is 317, calling from Indianapolis.
Yes.
Question, right, comment. Can you give us your first alaykum as-salam? Can you tell us your name?
Caroline.
I don't know your name.
Yes. I'm looking to all the listeners. I didn't mean to go too far back when we was talking about Independence Day, that the way it was given to us, you know, as ex-slaves or African-Americans, reflect on the famous speech that Frederick Douglass gave on the 4th of July. But he did not feel the same feelings that his ex-slave masters were feeling. Okay, he was seeing the suffering of the slaves who weren't able to celebrate the 4th of July Independence Day the same as other folks. So,
yes, true.
So, that's, so in today's time, African American, whoever you want to call yourself, think that this was all about them in America and being free to do what they want to do. And we are still suffering somewhat the same ills that were suffered by the slaves or to be ex-slaves in America.
That's true. That's true. And I believe, like the information from email, I'm as well, I truly believe we're going to continue to suffer that less than or the watered down version as long as we continue to look at Independence Day through the eyes of other people, through the thinking of other people. And until we go back and seriously repent and ask Allah to show us independence from His word, we will always be second-class people celebrating Independence Day. We are not celebrating Independence Day yet. We're only celebrating the 4th of July.
Right.
And it's just another day off work. We're going to make some homemade ice cream. We're going whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm
Man, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, once again, we go back to what we talked about earlier about how people have been tricked, you know, deceived, tricked and deceived, and just thinking that this is just a day, you know, eat hot dogs, you know, barbecue, which is good, you know, and just get together with your families and what have you. But really, we have not really looked at independence. We haven't looked at, and we just come out of Juneteenth, too. Remember, we just had Juneteenth a few days ago. Big, big celebration. As a matter of fact, they made it a national holiday, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. They signed it into law, you know, a national holiday.
Sure did.
And, you know, and I go back to what we had said, and, you know, you had wrote in the Khutbah a couple of weeks ago, and I read it, too, on what Dr. Martin Luther King said about no emancipation proclamation can free us. No Johnsonian legislation can free us. We have
Your
to go down to our own civil rights bill. because even the homosexuals are taking advantage of that now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they saw that this civil rights bill was going to work good for them down the road. And they was going to be able to use it for anything they wanted to legislate anything they wanted to legislate into law so people could have that lifestyle that they chose to live. Okay, that's what we're living now. That's what we're seeing now. But anyway, you know, he said that we have to dig down on our souls, man, our own souls. And we have to understand, you know, how am I free?
Mm-hmm.
What has freed me? I mean, you know, what does independence really mean to me as an individual and as a community, as a society? And I think the people not even thinking about that, you know, they just thinking, well, you know, this is the day we can get off, you know, like you say, another mm-hmm. day we can celebrate and have barbecue and have a good time. But they don't really understand the significance of what we're talking about as far as independence. But this is good because we're having this show, you know, and we got to put it out there
mm-hmm.
that true independence
yes, sir.
Is for you to be free as a servant under God, you know, just you to have a life that God has permitted for you to live,
mm-hmm.
and that's true freedom. And that's where it started. You know, I'm glad we went back to, you know, the church, the big C, you know, church in England, and how the church was mm-hmm. oppressing the social life of the people, oppressing
mm-hmm.
the social life of the people, you know, and then Martin Luther had to rise up and say, no, this is not true religious freedom. This is oppression. And, you know, and the
mm-hmm.
first thing on the Constitution, and we got to remind, and I love Dr. Martin Luther King. May God forgive him his sins and grant him into a high place in paradise.
Amen.
Because this is the thing he was hitting on. He was hitting on this, man. He said, now you call, just like Frederick Douglass, you call yourself, this is a democracy, you know, and this and that. The democracy and that. You got freedom. He said, but, you know, you people act like a nation of savages, a nation of
mm-hmm.
savages, the way you treat, you know, the African-Americans, you know, the way you've treated the world, really. All right. So that's what I see. I see we have to come into this great mind of independence. And Imam Muhammad, he really tried to, you know, patriotism, like that new world patriotism. He really was
mm-hmm.
sending a message there. He was sending a message
right.
that we truly have
that's
religious
right.
freedom. And we are the biggest we're going to be the biggest patriot in this country, you know, because we understand
mm-hmm.
what true freedom is, because we were oppressed so long, and we want to be
yes,
we want to celebrate Patriotism Day to show our, you know, that we are patriot of this new mind of independence. We sharing it too.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much, Carolyn. Do you have any follow comments before we go to our next caller?
No, thank you.
Oh. Yes, ma'am, Sister
okay.
Carolyn. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Our next call is from 910-910. Thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mustafa from Fayetteville, North Carolina. How's everyone doing?
Yes, sir,
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I just have two brief comments. We keep saying, you know, I know we're using the language the 4th of July, but actually it's saying to me, forward the lie is what it's saying to me. Forward the lie. The other comment that I have is that we were talking about our independence as a people and our independence thinking and not looking through the eyes of other people to define what that independence is.
Yes.
And to my mind, I thought about Moses, alayhi salam, when he came to the meeting place that was ordained for him, Allah told him he had to take off his shoes.
That's right.
He was on all of the ground.
That's right.
So I was just thinking, you know, we haven't come to the point yet where we want to take off our shoes because we know that Moses was taught in the house of Pharaoh, just like we were taught in the house
mm-hmm.
of Pharaoh. And I think
Pharaoh.
I made a comment earlier, if a man won't treat you right, that man won't teach you right.
Yeah.
So
right.
Allah told him he had to take off those shoes. He was on hollow
yeah.
ground, sacred ground. So I challenge us, you know, to go back and review that and make sure that we're taking off these shoes, because they don't, they're not our shoes, and they don't serve the purpose that Allah has ordained for us to serve. So I just want to make those comments. I really enjoy the show. I've become a participant. I've become a participant in the show. It's not many, there's a lot of shows out here, but I don't participate. I just listen. But this show, I like to participate. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, man.
So I just want to say that. So let's not forward the lie. Let's truly seek the independence that has been stated, the freedom to serve the one Lord and Creator, and without any impediments. Without any impediments.
Beautiful.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah, thank you. And I think that it obligates us to speak a few minutes on Shu.
Yes. Yeah,
because Imam Muhammad, Muhammad, he has given us insights even on that. Shoe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Because it's a play on a mythological god called Shu.
Yeah, Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this mythological god Shu was like he was in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's saying, they're saying is his knowledge is over your head. You know, when they say it's a mythological god, God can mean like power and force, but it's knowledge that's over our head. But you got to take off that shoe, that knowledge, because even with our physical shoes, you know, we track all through all kinds of stuff, right? We walk on whatever on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for the shoe is to protect your base knowledge, your feet. That's your base.
Mm-hmm.
That's your foundation, right? Sometimes people ask you, "Hey, what are you standing on?" So, but it's your protection for your shoe, for your feet. And the man, he gave emphasis to the sole of the feet. The soul, S-O-L-E, tied in with the soul, S-O-U-L, because both are emotional.
Yes.
You can tickle both and get a emotional reaction. If you tickle the soul of someone's feet, right?
Yes.
Or you tickle their soul with a bunch of singing or whatever else, then you are playing on their emotions. And Imam said that's why that part of the foot is what is also called the arch.
Yeah.
Because the arch is uplifted above being in contact with the base level. The ball of your feet and the heel of your feet touch the ground, but the arch where that soul, S-O-L-E-E, is elevated. Unless you flat footed. If you flat footed,
unless you got flat feet.
You flat feet, you can't go to the army. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't get involved with the fight, you flat foot.
Yeah.
All right, so now but Moses had wrapped Moses' feet with the four of the lie. I'm going to use his language now.
Yeah.
Four of the lie. And when even that staff Moses was holding was four of the lie. That was, you know, a president when the president came in office, what did he do? First thing he do, he creates his staff.
He gets his staff,
The same reason, because he's going to lean on that staff the same as Moses leaned on his staff. So Allah asked Moses, Moses, what is in your right hand? Now, keep in mind, we're still talking about Independence Day. Don't be off topic. Because see, when Moses got done with this conversation, he was independent of Pharaoh's four to life.
He said,
Moses, he said, what is that in your right hand? He didn't say left hand. It's at the right hand.
Yeah.
Right hand stands for the control, the conscious control.
Right.
And Moses, I can see Moses now looking at it for the first time, like, well, you know, I used to beat down the fodder. What is fodder?
The bush.
What is fodder?
The bush.
And the bush. But the fodder is really saying the feed. You feed animals, your followers, the Father.
Yeah.
But he beat it down, meaning he break down the understanding so they can eat it. Right? That's all it says.
Yep.
He break it down the knowledge so they
yeah.
can eat it. But that
right.
was Pharaoh's way of doing it. That was Pharaoh's
yep.
staff. So
right.
Allah said, throw it down. He threw it down. What happened? It became a snake. And Moses turned around and ran from it. That's in the Bible and the Quran. Moses said, good God almighty, what in the hell
yeah.
have I been laying
yeah.
on? You lean
yeah.
on Pharaoh's knowledge. But then
yeah.
Allah said, well, let me teach you the tricks of Pharaoh's knowledge.
Yep. Give you a sign.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, I'm giving you the science, the insight, because
mm-hmm.
you got to go back there
yeah.
and make your other. Now, since you're independent, Moses.
Yep. That's right.
But you're just getting started. You
got to
go back there and make your people independent also. But
that's
I got to teach you the tricks,
yeah.
the lies
yeah.
that are upon them.
Yes.
And then Moses, he was able to go up. And there's more to the story. But Moses
yes.
was able to go back
Beautiful.
And to free his people. That's independence. That's independence.
Yes.
And that's the beauty we learned by Imam David D. Muhammad. We got to tell
yeah.
you where it came from. That he has given us all the tools, the insights that we need to free ourselves so we can go and free the people. I don't care what their religion may be, their
yeah.
race, their
That's
gender,
right.
whatever it may be. We have to go back. People, you say they may
yeah.
not want to hear it, but don't worry
yeah.
about it. That's not your job to make them hear it or
That's
even
right.
to make them accept it. It's only our
yeah.
job to go back and teach it to the best of
yeah.
our ability for what
yeah.
we understand, not what we know. Don't teach them what you
yeah.
know. Please, please, please don't teach them what you know. Teach them what you understand.
Yeah.
I know
mm-hmm.
all our stuff, but I don't
yeah.
fully understand it.
I
can't teach that and be right.
Yeah. That's right.
I can only teach that, and we can only teach that we understand. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Mustafa. We thank you for your wonderful comments.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're going to move on. I got a few more things I need to share here.
Sure.
Coming up on our closing hours, let me sure I covered the notes that I wanted to cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember,
yeah.
Imam Muhammad talked about them shoes, too, and he said that God asked Moses, what kind of shoes you got on? And Imam Muhammad said that Moses had on horseshoes, horseshoes.
He sure did.
Related to the horse.
Yeah.
If God don't want you to just be no horse, you know, and that's what they've done
mm-hmm.
to the masses. You just made them a bunch of horses, you know,
mm-hmm.
building their society, making all the money for them,
mm-hmm.
and building their society up. And that's not true freedom. That's what he's saying. Yeah, get rid of that. get rid of them shoes.
Wow.
You know.
You
and
know,
he said if you notice,
yeah,
if you notice when you come
mm-hmm.
to the masjid, you take your shoes off. You ain't got no shoes on. You
that's
know.
Right.
You
take
shoes
your shoes
of this
off.
World.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
yeah,
for the stand for the influences of
you know,
this world.
And the Christians,
the
you know, the Christians got a song too. You know, what kind of shoes you gonna wear when you wear to heaven? You see. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's a song of the Christians.
Yeah.
What kind of shoes we going to have on when we wear to heaven? You know, so Allah is clearing
yeah.
it up in the Quran. We ain't going to have on the shoes in this world, that's for sure.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
You know, you mentioned the horse.
Yeah.
The horse
yeah.
is led yeah. by his nostrils.
Yeah, there it is.
And the
yes,
nostrils
sir.
Are sound of the soul or emotional.
Yes.
And you read in the Quran about the panting. Yeah, the horses
yes, right.
when they run wild, panting, steed, and their
yeah.
hoofs are sparking. Yeah, but
yes.
but to guide their horse, you guide him by his nose. You put their bit
right.
in
yep.
his mouth, and he's so sensitive. If you just pull a little bit, you pull a little bit to
yeah.
little bit to the right,
yeah.
he's going to the right.
Yeah, yep.
you pull a little to the left, he's going to the left. And
that's
their message in their story of how they're leading
yeah.
society. Okay, here's a pause here I want to say here. This is kind of a repeat, but I'm going to read it again. Another note here. It says, Allah made the first Declaration of Independence. for humanity when he created and taught our father Adam, alayhi salam, peace be upon Adam. The enemy of man wanted to downgrade Adam. The enemy of man wanted to downgrade Adam. He wants to downgrade us today as a people. And his first thing, his attempt to downgrade our father Adam was as in the Quran, as when you place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood. That's in Quran. We read that, Surah 2, Ayah 30. Allah gave Adam, therefore us, true independence with the education of the revelation. So the revelation is our first Declaration of Independence. Now, we have the American Declaration of Independence. That's for a nation, but for the human person, the human being, our first Declaration of Independence is revelation from God. Allah declared our independence when he came over all life, dominion over all things, and made us a degree over the angels. Allah made us a degree over the angels. But what is that degree? That the degree that Allah made the human person over the angels is that a rational mind, Allah gave us a rational mind to make independent choices. Angels cannot think. So the degree we have over the angels is that we can think, we can reason. The only thing that the angel can do is bow and submit, except for Iblis. He couldn't bow. So that is what we want to know, is that Allah, when he gave us the revelation, that was the first Declaration of Independence for the human being. Alhamdulillah. We have a caller here. I want to get in.
That's wonderful. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Caller from 616. 616, thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Norman calling in.
Brother Norman. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. I try not to miss, you know, the call in. You know, I've been real busy, but we really thank Allah, you know, for the message today. It was really, really, really something, especially, you know, you're talking about understanding something before you share it. I think that's important, very important. But I just wanted to share real briefly is that I just finished a transcribing a book, you know, from the Imam, several of his lectures, tapes, and we compiled it all together on what he talked about. You know, it's not everything, but it's quite a bit. And it's very enlightening what the Imam was talking about Moses. The name of it is Moses and the Parting of the Sea. And it took me a while to just transcribe all of that, but it's out now. And you can get it through the WD Muhammad Publications books and tapes. And it came out.
I have a copy of it.
But it's a blessing. And that's one of the things that I was thinking, and Allah bless me to just really look at it today, you know, just dealing with the da'wah, which is a responsibility, you know. And then just before this pandemic and prior to that, you know, he inscribed me to start transcribing some of the lectures that he made, with that first one being the message of concern. You have to really get that. But I was thinking as he was talking, I said, now, that's a blessing now, because I can understand a little bit why, you know, Allah bless me with that. It's because when you read in the scripture, you don't understand the scripture if you don't understand the symbolism.
Yeah.
And you don't understand the symbolism if you don't just be plugged into, you know, the Imam or the prophets, you know, the other prophets.
Yep.
Because at the end of that is Allah, and he's the one who put that spirit in you, and that, you know, the knowledge and the truth, and he's the guide. So I was just thinking, I said, you know, that's really a blessing. I can really understand it now, because it's all part of it. It's just all one.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to share that. Yes. And thank you. And the brother, I was listening to that from North Carolina, too. We want to give him the greetings. And but it's a blessing, man, you know, to listen at the show, because I don't care when you listen.
Thank you.
Allah always bless you to understand something, and that's a blessing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Brother Norman.
Inspiring. Brother Norman, we appreciate that. First of all, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yes, we appreciate you as well. Yes.
That's right.
So here's a comment from the transcript. You've been speaking on New World Patriotism Day. I think it was back in 77, maybe 78. I'm not sure. Hold on. I'll tell you in a minute what day it was. August 10th, 1979. And that's something else, too, dear people, we need to begin doing whenever we can. We can't do it every time, but whenever we can, when we quote the Imam Muhammad, try your best to include the date and maybe even the city. And that goes a long way in preserving the integrity of what we're saying. And because we all do it, and I'm not... different than anybody else, we say the Imam said, and we can be right, but it would be really helpful, I think, very wise, if we could say the Imam said so and so in this city on this date. So this here came from July 4th, 1979, at the New World Patriotism Day address given in Chicago, at Grant Park. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, as you can go online and get it, it's a four-part series. It's a four-part series. So I'm going to have small quotes from it, small quotes, very small. Imam says, we have tried to establish the dignity of the human being all over the world. But in some parts, we have tried to do it without the proper respect for Almighty God, our Creator. In other parts of the world, we have tried to do it without including all human beings. But I believe we can see the forces of human dignity and respect for our Creator moving together in America today. Our nation, one nation, indivisible, under God, the Creator. America was founded for that purpose. From the very beginning of this country, America aimed very high. And I'm going to stop right there, because we have to reflect on this. He says, from the very beginning of this country, America has aimed very high. So if it aimed very high, that means it may not have reached it yet. Okay? But if our leader is promoting this is some 40 years ago, then we have to promote it today. It doesn't change. It doesn't change it. As a matter of fact, if anything, it should intensify, because our knowledge of the Quran should have intensified, right? Our understanding of the beauty of Prophet Muhammad should have intensified. So if the Imam, the further back the Imam said it, the more it should intensify for us, because we should have grown more into it, as the words of Prophet Muhammad said what? To his people. Those of you who are here, teach those who are not here, perchance they would do more with it than you. And the same thing applies here. It really applies with all knowledge, because knowledge grows and we grow. So if Imam is saying that people have tried to establish the dignity all over the world, but they didn't do it respecting God. Or if they did respect God, they only had it for a select few. Imam says it's not going to work. And he sees that in America today, we see the greatest opportunity for that. So the question becomes, I'd like to hear from you all, Brother Dominic, and I'll stick at you on too. What are we as students of Imam Muhammad supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
Once our leader says this, then we obligated. I think we will agree on that, right? Once Imam Muhammad said it, we obligated.
Yeah, we agree.
No, no, no. Hear and obey and start putting it out there. You know, give it to the people, you know, as best we can. What we understand, like you said, you know, what we understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a big job, man. You know, I mean, this is no lightweight situation here. But a lot don't put no more on us than we can bear, you know. And we have to begin to just keep it out there. You know, I know that everyone I come in contact with, you know, I try to give them the understanding Allah blessed us with, you know, with,
mm-hmm.
with this language Imam Muhammad has taught us, because we believe and really know now from looking at this thing that it is the solution to a lot of the problems we're having in this country and throughout the world. We got it, man. We got it. Like Imam Elijah Muhammad told Imam Muhammad when he listened to that tape that time. You know, Imam Muhammad said he was trying to get him busted. And he said when Elijah Muhammad turned the tape, he said, "My boy got it. My boy got it."
That's right.
Well, if his boy got it, that means we got it too. We got it too.
That's right.
And we just got to do something with it, you know, and then keep rolling.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. I just had a quick comment on that about what you asked about, you know, the Imam language,
yes.
And what he shared with us. Real quick,
yes.
We was I had a meeting,
yes.
With the Imam in Chicago, and the Imam of the city was with us. So we was on the way back, and what we had went for, the Imam was sharing, but he talked about, you know, quite a bit about something else that we hadn't just really, you know, had on our mind to just really talk about. But I was sitting up there, and I mean just digesting it, because, you know, when the man speak to you, you know, he doesn't even do that listen. But on
that's
the way
right.
back, the man was just saying, man, he wasn't talking about what we went for. You know, he talked about this, and he talked about whatever. I looked at him a little different. Then I was, come on now. I said, look, whenever the man shares something with us, because he had told me to teach this dawah, this message through his spirit and his trumpet. So whatever he give us, he has given that to us so that we could, you know, start digesting it. But we can't hold on to it. We have to give it. We got to give it.
Yeah.
See, we got to give it the same way the Imam give it to us. We can't add or subtract. But one other thing I just want to mention before we go real quick. I had finished the meeting with the Imam. He said, Brother Norman, he said, well, I got to go. He said, let's meet next week, get with the secretary, and then I'll meet you next week. So I hugged him. He's getting ready to go, and he stopped. He said, oh. He said, I won't be able to meet with you next week. He said, I'll be out the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just taking it all in.
Yeah.
And then he walked up
to me,
and he looked me right in the eyes. He said, Brother Norman, he said, do you realize, you know, the places that I go and the people that I meet? He said, you know, I go to these places, I meet these people. He said, do you have any idea why I do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't, you know, because ain't nothing you could say. He said, well,
right.
When the people accept me, he was talking about himself. He said, when they accept me, they accept you all.
Allah Akbar.
I think one of the greatest blessings that we can give is when we share. You know, they say we all Imam Muhammad. Just take what he blessed us with through Allah and teach it. But teach it through Imam's spirit and teach it through his trumpet. And just share it, because we already accept people. Everybody in the world accept Imam Muhammad. So all we got to do is take what he gives us and just share it with those who haven't just really come in contact with that message.
That's right.
Because when they accept what Imam is teaching that Allah has blessed him with, they automatically accept us.
That's it.
Amen. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, Brother Norman.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
May Allah bless you.
And you too.
Workers.
And the believers. And the listeners.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. We got another caller here. I'm going to get into the conversation. I think they have not been on yet. Caller from 914. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Yeah, this is Muhammad calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shahir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Alaikum
assalam.
Yes. I make some brief comments, and I'll be quick. Just two things. I think I could do that very quick. That is to hear Brother Norman speaking about the book. You know, that's a lesson in the Muslim Journal on page 14 about the new book, Moses, and all of it. All the W.D. Muhammad publications are there. So page 14 every week in the journal, new book and all is there. And also I'd like to say that, you know, I've been listening. We spoke a lot about, you know, Independence Day. So I think if we like could possibly take it a little step further since we are on this road of traveling. And now, you know, today there's a phrase, the mosque has phrase Sunday. And also, New World Patriotism Day. So if it's opportunity, you know, once we go off this air, maybe we all could go to Mosquera's Free Sunday Patriotism Day. And I think that would be next step up if we have the opportunity to do that just today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So how did we get there?
Oh yes. Well, I think you go to Mosquera's the website, and it should have the link there.
Okay.
I have a link, but I don't know how I could forward to anyone because I don't have your emails or nothing like that. But I believe if you go to the mosque, today, it'll probably take you to the first Sunday or some way, you know. Brother Norman, maybe you can have a connection, a link.
Let me bring him back on, see if we have a link. It's in my phone. But I think you can get it through the,
All right.
Talking about.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is an excellent conversation that we had today. This is quite enlightening.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, well, let everybody know, I mention this more often, all of these shows are archived. And within 5 minutes of us hanging out. okay. Let me hold on. Let me go back and tell you that again. Okay. I'll show the archives within 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of us ending this program. You can hit the same link. If you have the link, the website link, and listen to this show in portion or its entirety. You can do it next week, next month, next year. The shows are archived, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So thank you, Brother Muhammad from Mount Vernon. I'm looking forward to meeting you one day. I have not traveled outside of Indiana since COVID-19 yet. I have not left the state. And I only went to those cities because I had to go. But maybe, inshallah, things will get better and get out. Alhamdulillah. I'm sorry, I cut him off. I cut him off. I'm sorry, say what now?
No, I just said I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I've been listening to you for years, you know.
Alhamdulillah, yes, sir. I'm looking forward to being for the same reason, because you've been one of our most faithful supporters for many years.
And
we're very grateful. Okay, we're down to our end here. I do believe, I think I got one more quote from Imam Muhammad's New World Patriotism Day. I wanted to share. Okay. He's speaking about, I guess, many Muslims in America here, I think. Imam says here, quote, "Muslims have been on the outside for a long time. We put ourselves on the outside because we felt like Muhammad Ali, perhaps still feels, that there was no good to come from our being in America, supporting America. We felt we should demonstrate our resentment, our dislike for certain things that go on in America now. That happened very often in America of yesterday. We thought that we should demonstrate our resentment by not identifying with America. But today, in view of the new moral leadership we have in the present administration," talking about President Jimmy Carter at this time, "and considering the great achievements that came with President Kennedy, President Johnson, even Eisenhower, President Eisenhower before them, the great achievements for equality of opportunity, of equal education, we should appreciate it when things get better." And that's what I really want to emphasize, that last part. We should appreciate it when things get better. Let us not be ungrateful. Be true to the reality that things in many aspects in America have gotten better. Are they perfect? No. Then the question becomes, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But our goal is to reach perfection forever. That way we always have a motivation to push us forward. So the old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We have to recognize improvements within our American society. We don't want to just be sour grapes and bitter all the time. That's not wise. That's not healthy. I think it's what Imam Muhammad, he pointed us to here, is that recognize the good. Recognize the beauty. You know, I mean, remember the book Imam put out years ago, As the Light Shines from the East? And
what,
he
what
had one chapter in the book, As the Light Shineth from the East.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, and one chapter in the book was called America the Beauty and America the Beast.
Yes. America, Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, and he was bringing us brings us to a balance in our thinking. In other words, don't just see America as being all bad. You're not going anywhere.
No.
I mentioned this Friday. People come to Indianapolis sometime. And I know quite a few when they come here from somewhere else, and they talk about our city so bad. But then 10, 20 years pass by, they sit here talking bad about the city. I said, well, I'm thinking to myself, when are you going to leave? And again, a lot of us, we do the same thing about America. Oh, America ain't this, America ain't that. Well, when are you going to leave?
Exactly.
Because also in this same talk, and I went and grabbed the book because I had it handy. I keep it handy. Message to the Black Man in America.
Yeah.
Imam Muhammad said, he said on page 47, he said even the honorable like Muhammad tell us that America is our country. And I got grabbed the book and there it is on the bottom of page 47. He said, this is your America. This is the words of the honorable like Muhammad. This is your America. We have proven this to you.
You don't hear Farrakhan teaching that.
Oh, well, no. I think you did, because once again, we're talking about Independence Day. Because, see, we have to understand, Mr. Farrakhan put us into a womb, W-O-M-B. You are not independent in the womb. You are confined. They even got a chain. They put the chain game, it's called the umbilical cord. You in prison, chained to the umbilical cord. You can't feed yourself. You can't even remove your own waste. Mr. W. Farrakhan, Allah forgive him for his sins. He put us into a prison, into a womb.
And when
Imam Muhammad came, the water broke. They cut the cord.
That's right.
The new mind was born. That's right. The new mind was born and said, and out of the mouth of babes.
That's it.
But there has to be a independence. There had to be a severing of ties.
Yeah, it had to be a severing of ties. That's right.
Yes, but once you get a person who is free in their conscious mind. To think, following the word of God, to obey the word of God, he gonna want company. But he want company on his level or on her level. So the people who come to their beautiful blessing of being free in their conscience, they gonna join with other people also free in their conscience, and then they're gonna form a little big town. Then the town gonna grow into a bigger city, into a nation. But the nation don't come first. The individual. That's independent.
That's it.
That's independent.
Beautiful.
So today, if we go out there and eat our halal barbecue, all right, our halal watermelon.
Wait a minute now.
I can feel the critics. What about the meat? Halal or watermelon? Watermelon is already halal. Yeah, but you're not eating it halal. You're eating too much of it.
Yeah, there it is.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay,
don't overdo it. In other words, don't overdo it.
Yeah.
Don't overdo it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I have the callers through. Looks like Brother Jeff, you want to say something else? I think Jeff, you got something else you want to say. And I'm bringing him on, we're going to bring this to an end because I got another engagement.
Right.
Brother Jeff, anything else you want to add to the conversation?
I don't think he's there.
Wait a minute. No, I hit the wrong button. Okay. Okay.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam, Brother Jeff. Yes, sir.
Brother
Jeff.
Can you all hear me now?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Maybe it was me too, brother, but I gave a kubah Friday, and I talked about Independence Day, and I talked about Thomas Jefferson, who was the so-called author of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
But he tells the people all men are created equal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't. It was not a fact, and I had to tell the children in our congregation at the masjid, this man telling the people he wants independence and all men are created equal and independent, but he got 300 slaves.
Yeah.
That was the issue. But I'm going to tell you what his conscience brought him to. And this is Thomas Jefferson again. What I read to the people, God gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. We're going to have to pay for this situation. This is quote unquote, but we're going to have to pay for this situation as human beings and other creatures.
Yes, sir. Yes, powerful. Yeah. You know, because see, and something else too, and just I'm not sure of the timeline. A person who really enlightened Thomas Jefferson was our brother Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker wrote where Thomas Jefferson came out first and criticizing African Americans and talking about that our heads are smaller and we put off more body odors and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you see, please go find it. I don't have time for it right now. But Benjamin Banneker, he's the man who made the first clock in America and all that, right? That guy. He wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson and reminded Thomas Jefferson of how backwards they were in England under the church and how when they were oppressed and not allowed to live out their full human life, how backwards they were in Europe. So he was telling him, well, now here you are oppressing our people, the Africans, the way you are oppressed in England, but you want to criticize the Africans when you were the same state when you were oppressed. So we got a lot of things to do, but we have to, it's going to take, and I really believe this, it's going to take those who have been touched by the spirit of Iman Walaki Muhammad, who are free in our thinking, to put these missing pieces of the puzzle back in place where they belong. No one else can be able to do it. No one else can be able to do it. Either they got two things going to hold them back from doing it, a bias or a fear. A bias by those who have the powers, who don't want to let go, and a fear of those who, like Harriet Tubman said, I could have freed more. If I could have convinced them, we still have people who have fear. They say, well, I can't think outside that because I didn't read it in my U.S. history book. Well, it ain't going to be there. The man, he didn't treat you right. He ain't going to teach you right. So it's going to take those of us who have went through the fire, how you heat treat metal, how you heat treat metal, the fire of the discipline of the honorable like Muhammad.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it the way I see it. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying how I see it. Because that fire treatment of him removed fear from you.
Yeah.
That was his intent, was to remove fear from you, namely, purposely, and begin to see that I think it's still true, a white man and his thinking.
Yeah.
And
he
then,
sure took the fear
so
away.
That's one side. Yeah, the fear. But the bias is going to come from those from the other side because they're like, no, I'm not ready to share this. So we got to take what we have been given, trust it thoroughly.
Yeah.
And take it and use it for the benefit of raising all people. And don't let color or race or anything interfere with you teaching the truth.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm
yes,
sure
sir.
I got another two I didn't find, but the time is pushing me. I got a 4 o'clock meeting, and I'm not made to do a prayer yet. So my mind is pushing me to end this program. But I do want to give a big thanks to all of our listeners and all of our supporters. The show is archived, and it's available. For the ladies listening. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Oh, you know, wait a minute. Here came my brother. Brother Mel, I mean, you got to talk to your brother here. I love him.
Yeah.
Brother Muhammad, I mean, he waiting for his phone going off. He do it every week.
He's the last minute man.
All right, brother. Go ahead and get it in.
That's
what I'm
saying.
He did it last week. Go ahead.
Okay, y'all going to preempt the show for me? I can take it, but I just wanted to say, we hear a lot that the people on the radio are talking about. They're talking about systemic racism, and they're talking about critical race, what is it?
Theory.
And they're talking about systemic racism. So I asked one of my friends, you know, she wanted to bring that all up to me. I said, well, how about that racism that's in religion? Let me see what you mean. I said, well, how about that racism where God is portrayed as a Caucasian?
As a white man.
And all of a sudden, she got a phone call and she had to go. She had to go.
She got a phone
call.
She ran away from
that fear call.
And that's what they run, that's what's going to happen. You're going to turn the TV on and they're going to tell you, well, critical race theory, and we ain't with that, and you know what I mean? And systemic racism. But we need to raise what Imam Muhammad told us to raise, that question. You know, how about that racism that's in religion? You know what I mean? Patricia God and Caucasian and all that. So, okay, brother, good show.
Thank you. Excellent. That reminds me about the brother Henry Muhammad there in Illinois, Colvindale, Illinois. I think that's the name of the place he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've been putting up neon signs,
billboards
on the streets, billboards. Yeah, that say remove all racial images from worship. You know, and I think that message is still prominent today, and I think it's wonderful that these brothers are doing that. You know, so they putting it out there. You know, praise be to Allah.
That's right. Independence.
That's it. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Imam, you got to get out of here.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead and get off the phone. Yes, sir.
Thank you. And we thank our listeners. Inshallah.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Okay. We'll close out with our theme song.
Praise
my people.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Alaykum assalam.
Yes.
People every day trying to do things their own way, but everything you see such make